It hasn't. Hello? Yes, sorry. It's just that you said there was no man. She laughs. No, man trouble. I meant to say there's no man trouble. I see. Well, I'll let you get back to your quality time. Thank you. I'll call you next week and we can proceed. Great. Bye, Ava. She hangs up, and I instantly realize that I didn't pull out of drinks. She didn't confirm either, though. I put my phone back in my bag and spot Mario on his way over with a box full of cocktail ingredients and fresh fruit. Ava, are you well? I'm very well, Mario, and you? He heaves the big box onto the bar, and I help him by pulling it toward me. Very well, too. Would you be, he frowns, how you say, guinea pig? Oh, yes, I sound way too eager. I love all that mixing, shaking, and tasting business. He chuckles and passes me a small chopping board and a paring knife. You cut, he instructs, handing me a basket of various fruits from the box. I collect a strawberry, hull it, and chop it in half. Yes, this is good. Mario nods at me as he starts pouring various liquids into a large silver container. I work my way through the whole pile of strawberries, then start on the lemons. Mario sings some Italian opera-style song softly as we sit at the bar, me chopping and watching with interest as he measures, pours, and faffs around with various cocktail equipment. Now we do the good part, he smiles, slamming the lid on the silver container and proceeding to shake it. He flips it up and grabs it and then tosses it over his head before spinning quickly to catch it. I'm stunned on the spot as he knocks the container on the side of the bar and pours the dark pink liquid into a long glass with some mint and a strawberry. Voila! He sings, presenting me with a glass. Wow! I gasp at the sugared rim glass. What's it called? This is Mario's Most Marvelous! His voice gets higher toward the end of the name. He's proud of it. You try! He pushes the glass toward me, and I lean in to take a sniff. It smells lovely. But I remember the last time Mario insisted I try one of his drinks. It burned my throat. I take the glass tentatively as Mario nods eagerly at me. I shrug and take a little sip. It is good, yes? He dazzles me with his happy face and starts putting the lids on all the tubs of fruit. Yes, I take a longer sip. It's delicious. What's in it? He starts laughing and shaking his head. Ah, no, no. This I tell no person. What have you got there? Jesse's husky tone invades my ears from behind, and I swing around on my stool to see him standing behind me with his frown line firmly in place. I hold the glass out and smile. You should try. Oh, my God. He recoils slightly, his frown deepening. No, thanks. I'll take your word for it. He sits down next to me. Don't drink too much. He gives the glass a disapproving look, and my brain quickly engages. I'm sorry, I blurt. I wasn't thinking. I mentally throw myself over the bar and into the waste disposal unit. Mario must sense the tension, because he soon disappears, leaving me and Jesse alone. I put the drink down and turn back toward the bar. The delicious cocktail doesn't taste so sweet now. Hey. He pulls me off my stool and onto his lap, and I bury my face under his chin. I can't look at him. I feel so stupid. It's fine. Unravel your knickers, lady. He laughs. His facial expression didn't say it was fine. Or was that because I was drinking it? He leans back to look down at me and pulls my chin up with his finger. His eyes soften. Stop it and kiss me. I oblige immediately, finding the back of his neck to pull him down. I relax completely in his arms and soak him up, humming into his mouth. I feel him smile around my kiss. I'm sorry, I repeat myself. I feel so stupid. I said stop it, he warns. I don't know what your concern is. My concern? My concern is his reproachful glare at the alcohol. Did you get everything sorted? I ask. I did. Now we eat, and then we go home to bathe and snuggle for a while. Deal? Deal. Good girl. He gives me a chaste kiss and shifts me back onto my stool. Here's our lunch. He nods across the bar, and I see Pete carrying a tray in our direction. He places it down. Thank you, Pete, Jessie says. It's my pleasure, as always. Enjoy. He gives me a pleasant smile. He's so nice. In fact, everyone who works for Jessie is lovely, with the exception of one person. But I won't let her ruin my day on Central Jessie Cloud 9. I unroll my knife and fork and plunge straight into the colorful salad doused in that yummy dressing. I need to find out what it is. Good. I look up around a forkful of salad and see Jessie pop his own fork into his mouth. I moan my appreciation. I could eat this every day for the rest of my life. He smiles at me. Jessie, are you happy for the band to set up in the far corner of the summer room? My shoulders tense. A Sarah's shrill voice washes over me. Fine. I thought we agreed on that. Jessie turns slightly on his stool to acknowledge her. I don't. I stay facing the bar and start poking at my salad with my fork. We did. I was just checking. How are you, Ava? She asks. I scowl at my plate. Does she really want to know, because I'll happily tell her? I feel Jessie's eyes on me, waiting for me to be decent and answer the witch. I swivel on my stool and plaster a big, insincere smile on my face. I'm good, thank you, Sarah. And you? Her smile is as phony as mine, and I wonder if Jessie is picking up on the clear animosity. I'm fine. Are you looking forward to tonight? Yes, I am, I lie. I might be looking more forward to it if she wasn't going to be here. Jessie pipes up, relieving me of strained pleasantries. I'm heading off. I'll be back at 6. Make sure everything is in order upstairs. The suites and communal room remain locked until 10:30. Jessie points his fork toward the bar entrance. No exceptions, he adds sternly. Any hope I had of finishing my lunch has completely diminished at the mention of the communal room. I'm going to be watching people drift off upstairs all night. Of course, Sarah agrees. I'll leave you to it. See you later, Ava. Bye. I smile, and she returns it. But after last night, there is no escaping the fact that we dislike each other. So all of this pretending is pretty senseless. I swivel back to face the bar as soon as I can, and recommence poking at my salad. I have no doubt she's playing all friendly for Jessie's benefit. Surely he must see her for what she is. Why are you not looking forward to this evening? Jessie asks quietly as he continues with his lunch. I am, I say without looking at him. I hear him sigh heavily. Ava, stop twiddling your hair. You did it when Sarah asked you, and you're doing it now. He nudges my knee with his, prompting me to freeze mid-twiddle and drop my hair. I put my fork down. I'm sorry if I can't get excited about attending a party where every time someone looks at me or speaks to me, I'll be thinking they might want to drag me upstairs and fuck me. I jump as Jesse's knife and fork clatter against his plate. For fuck's sake! He pushes his plate away aggressively, and in my peripheral vision, I see him reach up and rub calming circles into his temples. Watch your mouth, Ava! My jaw is grabbed and yanked to face him. His green eyes are brimming with anger. No one will be doing any such thing, because they all know you're mine. Don't say things that make me crazy mad. I shrink a little under his stern tone. Sorry, I sound grumpy, but it's the truth. They could be thinking anything. How would he know? Please try and show a bit more willingness. He shifts his grip on my jaw and cups my cheek. I want you to enjoy yourself. His beseeching face makes me want to slap my loser ass all over the bar. He spent God only knows how much money on a stunning gown and dresses for me, and this is a special night for him. I'm such an ungrateful cow. I crawl across to straddle his lap. He, of course, doesn't give a shit that my legs are wrapped tightly around his waist at the bar. Forgive me. I bite his bottom lip cheekily and circle his nose with mine. You're adorable when you sulk, he sighs. You're adorable all of the time. I toss back at him and seal our lips together. Take me home, I say into his mouth. He moans. Deal. Up you get. He stands with me, and I release my thigh's iron grip on his hips. What about my car? I'll get one of the staff to drop it off. He dismisses my concern and starts guiding me to his car. I'm looking forward to some tub time. I'm relieved when we finally get back to Luso. Will Kathy be here still? I ask. I hope not. I want to crawl inside Jesse and stay put for a while. No. I told her to get off as soon as she's done. We exit the elevator, and Jesse balances my bags as he negotiates the key in the lock. He opens the door, and I follow him in before taking the bags from him. What are you doing? He asks on a furrowed brow. I'm taking these upstairs to the spare room. You can't see my dress. I make my way to the stairs. Put them in our room, he shouts after me. No can do, I call, disappearing into my favorite spare bedroom. I immediately unpack my dress from the suit bag and hang it on the back of the door, sighing as I stand back to get the full view. He's either going to come on the spot or disintegrate on the spot. I set about unpacking my corset, shoes, and bag, and leave the other dresses until later, and it's not long before I hear a small knock at the door. Don't come in, I blurt, and run to the door, opening it slightly. I find a smirking Jesse with his hands shoved in his pockets. Are we getting married? He asks. I want it to be a surprise. I wave him away. I need to paint my nails. Go. He wanted willing, so he better not complain. He holds his hands up. Fine, I'll wait for you in the bath. Don't be long, he grumbles, walking off across the landing. I shut the door and retrieve my makeup bag from my handbag, finding the post that Clive handed me this morning. I put it on the chest near the door before settling on the bed to paint my nails. Walking into the bathroom, I find Jesse submerged in bubbly water with a disgusted look on his face. I pull my dress over my head and remove my bra and knickers, his expression changing from affronted to approving as I climb in the bath. Where have you been? I was waiting for my nails to dry. I settle between his legs and lie back against his firm chest. He hums happily and tangles our legs together, wrapping his arms around me and sinking his nose into my hair. "Oh, I forgot. Clive gave me some post for you this morning. I shoved it in my bag and forgot about it. Sorry." "No problem." He dismisses my concern. I love, love, love you wet and sliding all over me. He palms my boobs and bites my neck. Tomorrow, we stay in bed all day long. I smile to myself, silently wishing we could do exactly that right now. But then I feel his heart beating against my back, and it has me thinking about his beating heart comment. "What was the first thing you thought when you saw me?" He's silent for a few moments before he growls, "Mine," and bites my ear. I squirm above him, laughing. "You didn't." "I fucking did. And now you are." He turns my face to his and kisses me gently. "I love you."
"I know you do. Did it ever occur to you to ask me to dinner instead of stalking me? Asking inappropriate questions and cornering me in one of your torture chambers?"
He glances away thoughtfully. "No, it didn't. I wasn't thinking straight. You made me crazy confused."
"Confused about what?"
"I don't know. You triggered something in me. It was very disturbing." He leans back and I rest my head back again.
"Triggered what? A heartbeat?"
I would think that a strange statement, but he triggered something in me too, and that was also very disturbing.
"You gave me a flower," I say quietly.
"Yeah, I was trying to be a gentleman."
I smile. "So the next time you saw me, you asked me how loud I would scream when you fuck me?"
"Mouth, Ava," he laughs. "I didn't know what to do. I only usually have to smile to get what I want."
"You should have tried to be less arrogant."
I don't relish the thought of Jesse smiling and getting what he wants. How many women has he smiled at? "Maybe. Tell me what you thought." He nudges me, and I smile to myself. We could be here a very long time.
"Tell me," he presses impatiently.
"What, so your head can swell further?" I scoff, earning myself a dig in the hip. I jerk, sending water flying over the edge of the bath.
"Stop!"
"Tell me. I want to know." I take a deep breath. "I nearly passed out," I admit. "And then you kissed me."
"Why did you kiss me?"
I ask in disbelief, performing a little shudder.
"I don't know. It just happened."
"You nearly passed out?" he asks. I can't see his face, but I would put my life on the likelihood of his roguish grin being firmly fixed on his lush face. I crane my head back.
"Yes, as I thought." I roll my eyes. "I thought you were an arrogant arse, with your touching, tactless comments and inappropriate manners. But I was so affected by you."
I still can't believe how blind I was to the manner. I was too wrapped up in fighting off the unwanted reactions I was having to him, then giving in, then fighting again.
He starts circling my nipples with his fingertips.
"I needed to keep touching you to see if I was imagining things."
"What things?"
"My whole body buzzed every time I laid a finger on you. It still does."
"Me too," I agree quietly. "It's the most incredible feeling."
"Do you realize the effect you have on women?"
I spread my palms over the tops of his thighs.
"Is it similar to the one you have on me?"
He laces his fingers through mine.
"Do they stop breathing for a few seconds every time they see me?"
He presses his lips onto my temple and inhales deeply. Do they want to keep me in a glass box so nothing and no one can hurt me? I almost stop breathing. He sighs heavily, and I rise and fall on his chest. Do they think their life would be over if I wasn't here? He finishes softly. Tears jump into my eyes, and I struggle to catch my breath. Okay, the first one for sure, but the other two I think are probably reserved only for me. They are pretty strong words, considering we've known each other for a month. This man was relentless, and now I'm so thankful he was. His business and drink issue are irrelevant now. He's still Jesse, and he's still mine. I turn myself over to my front and slide up his chest, his eyes following mine until they are level with his. You stole my lines, I say softly. I need him to know that he isn't the only one in this relationship who feels unbelievably possessive and protective. It's crazy, this big domineering man who has completely and utterly taken me, who has me surrendering to him without question or without much doubt. I've given him the power to completely destroy me. He's as important to me as I know I am to him. It just is. I love you so much, I say firmly. You have to promise me that you'll never leave me. He scoffs. Baby, you're stuck with me forever. Good. Kiss me. Are you making demands? His lips twitch, his eyes twinkle. Yes. Kiss me. He parts his lips in invitation as he closes the gap between our mouths, and I'm soon savoring the heat of his minty breath and meeting his circling tongue with equal sentiment as he slides his palms all over my wet back. I know it would make you very happy to stay here all night, but we need to think about getting a move on. He palms my bum and pulls upward, so I slide higher, and he has access to my neck. Let's stay, I plead unreasonably. I slide back down and catch a perfect rub of him against my entrance. He sucks in a sharp breath. Oh, you have to let me out, because if I stay, we'll be going nowhere. He kisses me urgently and pushes me up so I'm sitting on my heels in front of him. Stay then, I pout, pushing against him, wrapping my arms around his neck and sitting myself on his lap. He makes a poor effort to stop me. I want to mark you, I grin, and latch onto his peck with my lips. He groans and lies back. Ava, we'll be late, he says with zero concern. I clamp my teeth around his flesh and suck. Fuck. I can't say no to you. He moans, lifting me to position himself underneath me. He lets me sink down on a united sigh, and I clamp down a little harder with my teeth, starting to work myself into a slow, controlled rhythm up and down. He circles my waist with his palms and lifts and lowers me onto his body in time to my set tempo. Let me see your face, he demands. I release my bite and kiss it before bringing my head up to his level. Better, he smiles. I brush his wet hair from his forehead and thread my fingers at the back of his head. Our movements remain synchronized as water laps around us and we watch each other closely, the pressure in my groin simmering gently until he flicks his hips up suddenly and my hands fly out to grip the edge of the bath. My cheeks puff out, and he smirks at me before repeating the move. Again, I demand impulsively, as the rush of my imminent climax hurtles forward. I cry out and throw my head back when he complies. One hand shifts from my waist and drifts upward until his palm rests on my neck. "More?" he asks on a low husk. My head falls back down. "Yes," I manage to gasp the word before he snaps his hips up. I close my eyes. "Eyes, baby," he warns gently, sliding his hand back down my front to my waist. I open my eyes, finding Jesse's jaw tensed, his neck veins bulging. I'm lifted again and brought down to meet his rising hips. I cry out, fighting the impulse to close my eyes. "Does that feel good?" he asks, rewarding me with another flick of his hips. "Yes." My knuckles whiten from my fierce grip on the bath. "Don't come, Ava. I'm not ready." I concentrate on controlling the climax, pushing forward. Jesse's steady, controlled movements not helping me in my attempts. His head falls back, but he keeps his eyes firmly on mine, lifting me, yanking me back down, and grinding hard time and time again. Together we moan, my head becoming heavy from maintaining eye contact. I just want to throw it back and let go, but I've got to wait for the okay. I don't know how much longer I can. "Good girl," he praises me, gripping my waist harder and guiding me around on his hips. "Can you feel me, Ava?" "You're going to come," I gasp, feeling his cock expanding inside me. He smiles. "Get your fingers around those nipples." I release the edge of the bath and pinch my nipples into stiffer nubs, rolling my fingers under his watchful eyes. "Harder, Ava," he demands, pushing me with another hard blow of his hips. I cry out, clamping down further, the stabs of pain shooting straight down to my sex. "Harder," he shouts, digging his thumbs into my waist. "Jesse!" "Not yet, baby. Not yet. Control it." I swallow hard, tensing, every muscle in my body going completely rigid above him. I don't know how he's doing this. I can see the strain in his face and his tense jaw, and I can feel it in his throbbing cock. His control is incredible. I'm hurtling toward a furious climax, the pressure of my own grip on my nipples getting harder the closer I get. Then he slides his hand down to my inside thigh and moves it across to stroke lightly the rise and fall of his hips, causing the friction of his fingers to rub in time to his unhurried drives. I start shaking my head in desperation. "Jesse, please!"
"You want to come?"
"Yes!" He pushes his thumb to the top of my clitoris.
"Come,"
he commands, with another thrust upward, sending me delirious as my body explodes and I scream, the desperate cry echoing around the bathroom. On a loud curse, he lifts me back up and yanks me down onto himself, again and again and again. I yell at the shock of punishing blows and fall forward onto his chest, shaking uncontrollably. I feel him lift my dead weight slightly and bring me back down as he plunges up, holding himself into me, his solid thighs beneath me, feeling severe against my limp body.
"Oh, Jesus!"
he exhales loudly, water splashing around us.
"Ava, tomorrow I'm handcuffing you to the bed," he pants.
"Kiss me now." Dragging my head from his chest, I find his lips as he slowly circles his hips, wheedling every last bit of pleasure from us. I could go to sleep right here on his wet chest.
"Take me to bed,"
I mumble around his mouth.
"I am ignoring you," he replies sternly.
I clamp my palms on his cheeks to hold him in place, while I smother his face with my lips in a desperate attempt to convince him that we should stay.
"Let me love you,"
I whisper, moving my hands to the back of his head to grasp his hair. "I just want to stay, but I know I haven't a hope of getting my way." Baby, don't. I hate saying no to you. Off you get. He pushes me away from him, so he slides out, and I grumble moodily as he lifts himself from the bath. He hates saying no to me? Yes, only when I'm offering my body to him. Wear your hair down tonight, he says, grabbing a towel. I get myself out of the bath and turn the shower on. I might want to wear it up, I retort, getting under the water to start shampooing my hair. As it happens, I am wearing it down, but I'm being insolent for the sake of it. I yelp when his palm connects with my bum on a harsh sting, and I quickly rinse the shampoo from my hair, opening my eyes to be confronted with a glowering, extremely displeased man. Shut up. It's that tone that dares me to object. You will wear your hair down. He skims his lips over mine. Won't you? I will. I know you will. He removes himself from the shower. You get ready in here. I'll use another room. Not the cream room, I shout in a panic. Don't go in the cream room. Unravel your knickers, lady. I watch his wet, beaded shoulders leave the bathroom, and me to finish my shower. Chapter 20. I'm standing in front of the floor-length mirror, gazing at myself, my stomach in absolute knots. My hair has been blow-dried into glossy, tumbling waves. My makeup is delicate and natural, and I'm in the dress. It feels incredible, but my nerves are all over the place. I'm not sure if it's because of where I'm going, or if it's because I'm having an unreasonable pang of anxiety that Jessie won't like the dress. I turn in the mirror to see the plunging back, which seems so much more revealing than it did in the store. Will he go mad? He nearly had heart failure over a cut-out panel in a summer dress. Blowing my hair out of my face, I put my simple white gold studs in, the lace won't allow for anything more, and transfer my gloss and powder into my clutch with my phone. The door knocks, and my heart joins my stomach in the knots department. Ava, baby, we need to go, he says quietly through the door. He makes no attempt to come in, and that small gesture, accompanied by his soft, unsure voice, tells me he might be nervous, too. Why? Normally, he would barge in, no gentle knock or sweet coaxing. 2 minutes, I call. My voice is high and shaky as I spritz myself with my favorite Calvin Klein scent. There is no growling or impatient voice demanding I should get my arse in gear. He just leaves me to sort my nerves out. I take a few calming breaths, grab my clutch, and roll my shoulders back. It's no good. I'm stupidly nervous. I've got to face all the members of the manor. Those women have made it clear that I'm a gatecrasher, and I can't imagine their opinion will change just because I'm wearing a couture gown or am officially Jessie's girlfriend. Taking a deep breath and gathering the bottom of my gown up a little to admire my shoes, I make my way to the bedroom door and to the top of the stairs. As the huge open-plan area comes into view, I hear the low, mesmerizing tones of the Moody Blues Nights in White Satin falling over me from the integrated speakers. I smile to myself, and then I see him. I halt in my tracks at the top step and try to catch my breath. It's like seeing him for the first time all over again. He looks devastating in his black suit, crisp white shirt, and black tie. He's freshly shaved, so I can see him in all of his loveliness, and his hair has been persuaded to the side with some wax. Oh God, I'm going to be doing some serious trampling tonight. He hasn't seen me yet. He's pacing slowly, hands in his trouser pockets, watching his feet. He's nervous. My confident, domineering ex-playboy is nervous. I watch in silence as he sits down, clasping his hands together, circling his thumbs briefly, before getting up and commencing pacing. I smile to myself, and like he has sensed I'm nearby, his head snaps up to me, and I get a full frontal impact of my stunning man in all of his glory. My breath hitches, and I clasp the handrail on the stairs to steady myself. His eyes widen a touch. "Oh, Jesus," he mouths, and I shift on my heels under his intense gaze. Our eyes lock, and he starts walking slowly toward the stairs. I would start down to meet him, but my stupid legs are frozen firmly in place, and no amount of mental encouragement is convincing them to move. He might need to carry me down the stairs. He takes the steps, all the time keeping his eyes firmly set on mine, and when he reaches me, he holds his hand out on a small smile. I take a deep breath and grasp my dress, placing my hand in his, letting him lead me down the stairs, my legs more solid now that he has hold of me. When we reach the bottom, he stops and turns to face me, running his eyes up and down my lace-clad body. He takes a slow walk around to my back, and I clench my eyes shut, praying that I've not made a mammoth error with my brave choice of a plunged back. I hear him inhale sharply, and then his warm fingertip meets the nape of my neck. He trails a slow, languid path down the center of my spine, setting off a flurry of pins and needles all over my bare flesh, and finishes at the base of my spine. Then there's the unmistakable heat of his mouth on my skin as he drops a kiss at the center of my back. I physically relax under the warmth of his lips. He slowly makes his way back around to my front and locates my eyes. "I can't find my breath," he murmurs, snaking his hand around my waist and pulling me into him. He takes my mouth tenderly, like I've become as delicate as the lace encasing me. All knots and nerves have been chased away. Now all I have to worry about are the endless women who'll be throwing themselves at his feet. He pulls away and pushes his hips into my lower stomach, the evidence of a raging erection clear and present. He would never make me undress. Not now, surely. "I really like your dress," he says on a small smile. "You didn't try this one. I would have remembered this one." He looks down at the dress in awe. "Always in lace," I repeat his words, and his eyes fly back up to mine. "You chose this dress for me." I nod mildly as he steps back and puts his hands back in his pockets. He starts chewing that lip, the cogs whirling around as he nods knowingly, approvingly. His eyes climb back up my body to reach mine. "Like I chose this for you?" He pulls his hand from his pocket, and I see a delicate platinum-layered chain hanging from his finger. I nearly choke on my own tongue as my eyes take in the piece. I saw it in a glass cabinet as I passed through the jewelry department with Zoe this morning. She pointed it out, and it had me spellbound immediately, displayed all on its own, with layers of delicate linked platinum and a chunky square-cut diamond suspended on the end. I nearly had heart failure when I read the small card displayed next to it detailing the price. My eyes jumped to his. "Jessie, that necklace was 60 grand! I sputter. I won't ever forget. I counted the zeros repeatedly. I start to get really hot all of a sudden as I flick my eyes from Jessie's to the swinging diamond that's still dangling from his finger. He smiles and walks around to the back of me, gathering my hair and placing it over my shoulder. My heart is performing jumping jacks in my chest as he brings the necklace over my head, and it rests on my breastbone. It feels like a huge burden on my chest. I'm starting to shake. His hands skim my back as he fastens the clasp. Then he slides his palms onto my shoulders and rests his lips on the nape of my neck.
"You like?"
he whispers in my ear.
"You know I do."
But I reach up and feel the diamond, then instantly want to get a velvet cloth and polish my fingerprint from it.
"Did Zoe tell you?"
I feel sick. I know she's technically in sales, but to tell Jessie that I was completely wrapped by an obscenely expensive diamond necklace is taking advantage. 60 grand! Oh, heck.
No.
I asked Zoe to show it to you. He turns me around, in his arms, and runs his fingertips over the necklace and down the center of my chest.
"You are crazy beautiful."
He kisses my lips softly.
He asked her?
I laugh a nervous laugh.
"Are you talking to me or the diamond?"
"It's all about you," he says on a raised brow.
"As it always will be."
My laughter abates instantly.
"Jessie, what if I lose it? What if..."
I'm silenced by his lips.
"Ava, shut up."
He replaces my hair down my back.
"It's insured, and it's a gift from me. If you don't wear it, I'll be crazy mad. Understand?"
His tone suggests I'm not to argue with him on this, but I'm completely overwhelmed and even more nervous than before. I take a deep breath and rest my hands on his chest. I really don't know what to say. My voice is slightly shaky, matching my body.
"You could say you love it."
His lips tip at the corner.
"You could say thank you."
"I do love it. Thank you." I reach up and kiss him.
"You are more than welcome, baby. It's not as beautiful as you, though. Nothing is."
He takes my hands from his chest.
"My work here is done. Come on, you've made your god late."
He leads me to the front door and flicks the music off before grabbing his keys and taking us out to the elevator. I notice that the glass has been fixed. The doors open, we step inside, and I watch him punch in the code before standing back. He glances down at me and winks.
"You're crazy handsome," I say wistfully, reaching up and dragging my thumb across his bottom lip to wipe the remnants of my lipstick away.
"And all mine." He grabs my hand and kisses the tip of my finger.
"Just yours, baby."
As we walk through the foyer of Luso, Clive does a double take and gapes slightly. Jessie's arm goes firmly around my shoulder, and I know this is a sign of things to come tonight, which is fine, because I don't plan on leaving his side all evening. He helps me into the DBS, and we travel to the manor at high speed. I've made him late for his own anniversary party, but he doesn't seem that bothered. He tosses his eyes over to me every so often and half smiles when I catch him looking at me. I rest my palm on his firm thigh and relax completely when he places his hand on mine, giving it a reassuring squeeze. I am so in love with him right now, and unexpectedly, I'm looking forward to this evening for the first time. Fun-loving Jessie is out to play tonight, and it is these little snippets of time when I can see the laid-back character whom everyone keeps telling me about, but it's plainly obvious that he's only like this when things are going his way, and when I'm doing what I'm told and he's getting what he wants. But I'm at my happiest, my most content, when he's like this. I'm well and truly in my element on Central Jesse Cloud 9. I'm not surprised to see John on the steps of the manor when we pull up. Jesse collects me from the car and leads me to the entrance, where John is briefing a dozen men in full valet attire. Jesse chucks his keys at John, who catches them and passes them to one of the valets, with strict instructions to only move the Aston Martin if absolutely necessary. I put my hand up to John, and he smiles broadly at me as we pass, flashing me his gold tooth. He is in his usual black suit, except he has replaced the black shirt in favor of a white one with a black bow tie. The shades are firmly in position, though, and he still absolutely oozes coolness.
"There you are!"
Sarah's panicked voice is the first thing to attack my ears as we enter the manor. She is scuttling toward us, her legs restricted to small shifting movements due to the tight red satin dress that could qualify as a second skin. She must have poured herself into the thing. If there was previously any doubt regarding the status of her breasts, it has just been completely eradicated. They are hoisted up in the strapless dress, and if she lowered her lips, she could kiss them. She halts her hasty advance on Jesse and gives me the once-over, her eyes finishing and remaining on my neck, which is hardly surprising. You can hardly miss it, but she isn't dazzled by the beauty. Not a chance. She's weighing up the likelihood of who's given it to me, and judging by her screwed-up, Botox-pumped face, she's hit the nail right on the head. I instinctively reach up and clasp the diamond, almost like I'm protecting it from her beady eyes. She flicks a begrudging stare at me, and then runs her eyes down my lace-clad body. I straighten my shoulders and smile sweetly. "I'm here now," Jesse grumbles as he pulls me along beside him. We enter the bar and find Mario dishing out firm instructions to the bar staff. The bar has tripled in size, and I realize that the folding doors dividing the bar and restaurant have been opened, and tall bar tables and stools have been scattered between the rooms. "Here, sit." He lifts me onto a stool at the bar and calls Mario over before sitting himself opposite me. Sarah points at a spreadsheet in her hand.
"Can we just go through..."
"Sarah, give me a minute." Jesse cuts her off without taking his eyes from me. I could kiss him. "What would you like to drink?" I can feel the ice emanating from Sarah as she stands there like a plum and waits for Jesse to tend to me before he gives her the attention she's demanding. I might take a while to decide. Can I have alcohol? He did say I can drink if he's around. Mario appears, looking rather dapper in his white waistcoat and bow tie, his hair combed precisely to the side and his moustache neatly trimmed. He smiles brightly, and I remember the lush cocktail he made for me earlier today. "I'll have a Mario's Most Marvelous, please," I grin at Mario. He laughs loudly.
"Yes,"
he starts faffing at the bar. "Mr. Ward?"
"Just a water, please, Mario,"
Jesse replies, leaning toward me for a kiss. I can feel Sarah's eyes drilling into me. So, of course, I oblige and let him have his way. Not that I need Sarah around to do that. He has his way wherever and whenever he chooses.
"Slow gin, Mario,"
she snaps petulantly, and then proceeds to huff while Jesse gets his fix of me. He really doesn't have any regard for this woman, and I feel all the more comfortable for it. She's not even really a threat.
"Jesse, I could really do with you in the office," she presses.
He growls, and I'm mentally willing him to trample all over her.
"Sarah, please,"
he grates, standing up in front of me.
"Baby, do you want to stay here, or would you like to come with me?"
I'm not looking at her, but I know she has just rolled her eyes, and while I would love to piss her off more, I'm quite happy to sit with Happy Mario and drink my most marvelous.
"I'm good here. You go."
He grabs his water and pushes his lips to my forehead. I'll be quick. He stalks off, leaving Sarah to virtually jog on her 8-inch heels in order to keep up with him, but not before she leans across me to retrieve her gin from the bar on a snarl. I ignore it, and accept my drink from a smiling Mario. Thank you, Mario. I return his smile and take a sip, gasping in gratitude.
Miss Ava, may I say how magnificent you are looking this evening?
He smiles fondly, and I blush slightly.
Mario, may I say how devilishly handsome you look this evening?
I raise my glass to the small Italian man, whom I have become rather fond of. He slaps the bar in a sharp burst of laughter, and then his eyes fall onto the diamond that's suspended around my neck before he tips his eyes back up to me with a high-raised eyebrow.
He loves you very much, yes?
I give a little embarrassed shrug, feeling suddenly uncomfortable with the friendly Italian. I don't want everyone thinking the inevitable, just like Sarah did.
It's just a necklace, Mario.
A 60 grand necklace, yes, but no one has to know that. I reach up to grasp it again. I have to keep checking it's there, even though I can feel the weight perfectly.
I see that you love Mr. Ward very much, too,
he smiles and tops my glass up.
It makes me happy.
He gets distracted by a smashed glass and goes stalking off, waving his arms around and shouting in Italian. I sit happily at the bar, watching the staff prepare for the evening. Champagne is poured into glasses, the bar is repeatedly wiped down, and Mario shouts instructions, pointing here and there to guide his staff. The little Italian is a perfectionist, making everything just so. The huge room looks stunningly made up, everything arranged precisely and with the utmost attention to detail. The low-hanging chandeliers are shimmering subtly, giving off a soft apricot glow of light. The words sensuous and invigorating, springing to mind immediately, words I've heard before. Pete appears with a tray of canapes.
Ava, you look wonderful.
He presents me with a tray. Would you like one? I take in the glorious smell of smoked salmon and spy the small flatbreads caked in cream cheese.
Ah, Pete.
I place my hand on my stomach. I'm still full from lunch. I have no idea how I'm going to manage a 3-course meal. I'll burst out of this dress.
Ava, you hardly ate your lunch.
He gives me a disapproving look and carries on his way. Enjoy your evening.
You too, Pete,
I reply, feeling immediately silly for telling a member of Jesse's staff to enjoy their evening of working hard. But he's right. I didn't eat my lunch, and that's because I lost my appetite when Sarah rocked up, and it's probably why I'm not hungry now. I turn back to the bar and find my glass has been filled again. I search Mario out and spot him across the bar, repositioning some stools. He catches my eye and gives me a cheeky grin, and I hold my glass up and give him a frown. He ignores it and carries on moving stools around. I'll have to be careful. I've had 2 glasses of this most marvelous concoction already, and I've no idea what's in it. I can't be falling about all over the place when people start arriving.
Ava!
I jump into standing position as Kate's excited shriek hammers me from the side.
Whoa!
She skids to a stop in front of me, her eyes popping out of her head.
Fucking hell!
I know, I grumble. I'm petrified of the damn thing. It should be in a safe. I reach up and fiddle with it again, and Kate bats my hand away to cop a feel herself.
Wow, that is some serious special.
She drops the diamond and stands back to eye me up.
Look at you.
Someone has been thoroughly spoilt today.
I laugh. I think what I have been today is way past spoiled.
What about you?
I grab her hands and hold them out to the side. I love the dress. I sent her on a little twirl. She looks fabulous as always, in a long green gown, her red locks vibrant and piled high on her head. Do you want a drink? You have to try this stuff. I grasp my glass from the bar and hold it up. Here, sit. Where's Sam? She pushes herself onto the stool and rolls her eyes. He wouldn't let any of the valets park his car. He thinks they're all driving morons who can't handle the power of a Carrera. She laughs. Where's Jesse? My smile disappears. Sarah dragged him off somewhere. I glance at the clock and note he's been gone for over an hour. Anyway, I couldn't help but notice a certain Carrera with a certain redhead in it pulling into the manor yesterday evening. I say casually as I sip my drink, eyeing her reaction over the rim of my glass. My fiery red-headed friend fires me a glare. Yes, Ava, you've already pointed that out, she says haughtily. Get me that drink. I shake my head, but I don't press her. Mario, I call, and he waves his acknowledgement as he walks over. This is my friend Kate. Kate, this is Mario. Yes, we've met, Kate smiles at Mario. How are you this evening, Kate? Mario blesses her with one of his lovely warm smiles. I'll be better when you get me one of those, she points to my glass, and Mario laughs before going to fetch his glass jug of the most marvelous stuff. Of course they've met, but how many times? Mario returns with his jug, and I slap my hand over my glass when he tries to fill mine again, throwing him a playful warning look. He shrugs, muttering something in Italian, and fighting a smile, clearly trying to pretend he's offended. Where's the love? We both turn and see Sam standing legs spread and arms extended in the entrance of the bar. He looks unusually smart, compared to his traditional baggy jeans and T-shirt combo. He straightens his suit jacket and waltzes to the bar confidently, shouting for a bottle of beer as he approaches. He may be dressed smartly, but his hair is its usual mop of brown, messy waves, and his cheeky grin and dimple are ever-present. Ladies, may I say how damn fine you're both looking this pleasant evening? He kisses my cheek, and then lavishes Kate with a dramatic sloppy one. She bats him away, laughing. Where's my man? He asks, glancing around the bar. I want to correct him and inform him that Jesse is, in fact, my man, but I fear I might be falling into trampling territory. He's in his office, I say, taking another sip of my drink. I'm pacing myself, but this stuff is delicious and going down a treat. An hour later, the bar is crammed full, and Jesse is still nowhere to be seen. Soft jazz is playing in the background, and the sound of happy chatter is prominent in the air. The men all look fine in tuxes and suits, and the women have all gone to town in various gowns and cocktail dresses. I'm not ignorant of the fact that I seem to be the choice of conversation for many groups of people, particularly women, who make a rubbish job at hiding their interest. The thing that is bothering me the most, though, is my unreasonable inquiring mind wondering just how many of them Jesse has slept with. It's a depressing thought, and one I don't think I'll ever shake off. I'm sipping cautiously on my third glass of Most Marvelous. Drew has arrived and looks no different from normal, all well-groomed and precise. I exhale and relax when I feel two big palms rest on my hips and fresh water, minty loveliness, drift into my nose. His chin rests on my shoulder. I've neglected you. I crane my neck to see him. Yes, you have. Where have you been? I couldn't get 2 yards without someone making a play for me. I'm all yours now, I promise. He pushes his front into my back and leans over to shake hands with the boys, before leaning toward Kate so she can kiss his cheek. I can guarantee that all of the someones
who he couldn't get 2 yards past were women.
"Is everyone good?" he asks as he waves Mario for some water.
"We will be when dinner is out of the way," Sam grins and chinks bottles with Drew.
10:30, Jesse says sternly.
He pulls me off the stool and sits there himself before pulling me down onto his lap and burying his face into my neck. Sam and Drew throw each other disapproving looks, and Kate refuses to look at me, heightening my suspicion and my concern.
"I want to lay you on that bar and take my time peeling all of this lace off," he whispers in my ear, pushing his groin up into my backside.
I stiffen, silently willing him to shut up before I oblige and climb onto the bar for him.
"What's under the dress?" "More lace," I say quietly on a smile, and he groans in my ear.
"You're fucking killing me."
He nips my ear, causing shivers to bolt through me.
"You have to stop," I warn, rather unconvincingly.
It would take him a week to get me out of this dress and back in it again. Actually, it probably wouldn't take him that long at all. He'd lose his patience and rip it off, in which case I wouldn't be putting it back on.
"Never."
His tongue dips into my ear, and I close my eyes on a sigh.
"You guys!" Kate playfully slaps Jesse's shoulder. "Put her down!" "Yeah, you're restraining our sexual needs, but it's okay for you to sit there and fondle your girl," Sam complains.
Jesse lands Sam with a reproachful glare.
"Try and stop me. I'll shut up shop now and take her home."
"You're trampling your mates now," I laugh, and they all start laughing with me.
I feel Jesse resume nibbling at my nape, but my attention is captured by a woman at the entrance of the bar, wearing a cream dress.
"Who's that?" I ask.
"Who's who?"
His head comes up from my neck, and I nod toward the woman. She's probably early 30s, with black bobbed hair and pretty features. I wouldn't have paid much attention, but she is staring straight at us, and she's alone. She starts walking toward us, and I feel Jesse tense under me. Sam and Drew shut up immediately, which only serves to make me even more wary. Who the hell is she? When she reaches our group, she stops, keeping her eyes on Jesse. The tension is tangible, and I glance at Kate to find a heavy frown on her face. Then I'm suddenly standing myself and being positioned back on the stool, minus one Jesse beneath me.
"Carl, do you want to come to my office?"
Jesse asks, way too softly and gently for my liking. She nods, and I can see her eyes brimming with tears.
"Come on."
He turns to me, offering an apologetic smile, before leading her away with his hand placed at the bottom of her back, leaving me sitting wondering what the hell is going on, and mentally demanding him to remove his hand from her. John gives him a nod as they pass at the bar entrance, and then proceeds to notify everyone that dinner will be served imminently. There is a bustle of bodies that make for the summer room, the women flicking me curious stares as they pass. I ignore them. I'm too busy wondering what Jesse is doing with a mystery woman. The silence that has fallen in our little group is broken by Kate.
"Who was that?"
She helps me down from my stool. I glance at Drew and Sam, who both shrug denial of any knowledge, but I can tell by their sudden discomfort that they know exactly who Coral is.
"I don't know. I've never seen her before," I say on a frown, following the mass of people into the summer room.
"Jesse seems to know her, though," I add dryly.
We find our table, and I'm beyond relieved to find myself sitting with Kate, Sam, Drew, and John. I'm not so pleased that Sarah is also with us, though. Another man, whom I've not met, joins us. He's introduced as Niles, a cute, floppy-haired, posh schoolboy type. Not the kind of man I would expect to find at the manor at all. But what is the manor's type? The summer room has been completely emptied of sofas and occasional tables, and in their place are masses of round tables, seating between 8 and 10 people. I try to count them, but lose track at table 30. The colour scheme is black and gold. I wonder if that's an accident. Candles are burning everywhere, enhancing the key ingredient, sensuality. It was on Jesse's specification for the extension, and at the time, when I was oblivious to the manor's activities, it was a weird request. Now it makes perfect sense. A band is set up in the corner, but it's four men with saxophones who are providing the music throughout dinner. The chair next to me is still empty, and the one next to that has Sarah perched neatly on it. I'm guessing she arranged the seating plan and was most pissed off when she had no choice but to sit me on the other side of Jesse. Where is he? Kate picks up a gold-structured satin bag and waves it in the air at me. They must be the gift bags, and I decide that I'm not even going to peek